It's The Playbook with Satyar Shah and John Jang on Sportsnet 650.
Our good friend G. Scott from 710 ESPN. And thank goodness we get some G in our lives this Friday.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How y'all guys doing, man? Happy check day.
Check day. It is Friday, so we figured since it is check day, let's bring in our guy, G. Scott, man. So we're glad to have you on, but it has been a tumultuous week for the Seahawks, letting go of Darrell Bevell, Chris Richard, and Tom Cable. Did you see this coming, that they were going to clean house underneath Pete Carroll?
I thought it was a great possibility. I thought that it was either going to be one or both when it came to the offensive side of things. And I thought actually that it would be Tom Cable would be the one to go, because let's be real, not just the offensive line, but just the run game itself just has not been there. And that's what Tom Cable's in charge of. He's the run game coordinator. And you're talking about an example, a clear example of what was going on was the Seahawks running back, all six of them combined for 994 total yards this season. Alex Collins, remember him? He went to the Baltimore Ravens and ran for 974 yards with six touchdowns on the season. Yes, there is a problem. There is a problem when your leading rusher for running back was, 230 yards, and he was on the practice squad the majority of the season. Yes, there was a problem. It was a clear problem with the run game. So I thought there would be a change there. Darrell Bevell, seven seasons, offensive coordinator. I'll say this, for everyone that's excited that Darrell Bevell is gone, careful what you wish for. That goes to life all the time. Sometimes a change needs to be made, which I agree. I do agree a change had to be made with Darrell Bevell as far as being the offensive coordinator. I do believe that in order for this offense to evolve, to get better, to exceed especially expectations when you have the run game, which has been suffering so much, it was time for a new vision and look and somebody new to run the offense. But I don't want to take away how great Darrell Bevell was. The fact that he brought in a third-round quarterback in Russell Wilson and helped integrate him into an offense with Marshawn Lynch and helped bring back-to-back Super Bowl appearances and helped bring a Super Bowl championship, Super Bowl 48. And as a matter of fact, I want to go into something really quick. I want to be very clear about something. The Seahawks went back to the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 49 because of what Darrell Bevell's adjustments were at halftime against the Green Bay Packers. And then also, and I want to, this is one last thing, is people always say this. They always put that last final play on Darrell Bevell. Correct me if I'm wrong. Pete Carroll came out and he was the one that took the blame for that final call. So in my opinion, I do think that Darrell Bevell gets way too much of the blame. I don't think it's warranted. However, I do think that a change had to be made.
Now, do you have any inclination for who could be replacing Darrell Bevell as a new offensive coordinator?
No, there's a lot of names that are out there. The Shula name's out there. There's a lot of the Brian Schottenheimer name is out there. At this point, I've talked to a few of the guys, and some of the guys are saying, hey, whoever they bring in, a lot of folks believe this. See, Darrell Bevell was a very nice guy, right? He's a very nice guy and someone who just, you know, he doesn't really ruffle any feathers. Whoever they bring in is going to have to be somebody who is going to be, if you will, more of a quarterback whisperer or more of a in-your-face type when it comes to the quarterback, because, you know, it's time for Russell to get challenged a little bit. It's time for him to get better with the offense. And for anybody that just thinks that quarterbacks don't need to get better, just remember Joshie out there, McDaniels out there for the New England Patriots, an image of him and Tom Brady going at each other. You know, in life, iron sharpens iron, right? Mm. Sometimes you need to have that disagreement or that tension a little bit so you can kind of get that breakthrough. That's what Russell needs. Russell needs someone to come out here and help him with that breakthrough. If you think Russell is great, I don't disagree with you. Russell is a great quarterback. But if he's going to evolve and continue and want to be the greatness going into the future, then he's going to need somebody to help him with that breakthrough. And whoever that offensive coordinator is that comes in, I hope that person will get that job done.
Happy to have you back, G. And I know this is a bit of a pipe dream, but has Walter Jones's name come up even one iota regarding the offensive line coaching vacancy?
Love Walter. I really do. Love Walter Jones. Great relationships with Walter Jones. I remember during the time that he was really, in my opinion, I think Walter Jones is the greatest left tackle of all time. You can argue with me, but I don't want to listen to it. Now, with that being said, can Walter teach what he did? No. He can't teach that. His footwork was phenomenal. I mean, it was unheard. It was like, what is this? I used to watch the guy in practice all the time, and I would just see him, and he made it look so easy. He's so strong. His hands, the things that he was able to do at that level, I don't think he's able to teach. And sometimes I used to talk to offensive line. I remember Rob Sims, left guard, who used to play next to Walter Jones. He would tell me, man, Walter, he can't really explain what he does. He's just good. Now, I'm quite sure that, you know, there's some the basic principles, but in order to be as good as he was, you're asking for a lot. I think Walter Jones is going to enjoy retirement, guys.
Yeah, we know that he's running his own clothing line right now. He's a businessman, so I understand that he's probably got an agenda full. These are some dramatic changes the Seahawks are making to that coaching staff, and I know Doug Baldwin was pretty adamant in trying to defend Darrell Bevell this season, especially coming under criticism at the end of the year. Do you have an understanding of what that feeling of the players are right now and whether or not there's any animosity?
No, there's no animosity. I mean, it's a business going forward. And, you know, when Doug makes the comment that the players need to execute, that's a leader and a captain on the team basically saying, I'm not a coach. I'm not trying to be a coach. I'm a player. From a player's point of view, we need to do a better job in executing. That's clear. That's all he's trying to say. In a league in which there is always constant turnover anyways, every single season. So for an example, this is the first time in the last 7 years, most of the coordinators that have left from under Pete Carroll, they have usually gone on to get a job. It's kind of like, oh my goodness, somebody got fired. Kind of weird around here, right? It's kind of uncharacteristic. Well, every single season, there's always player turnover. There's always the next player, the next man up, and there's competition for those spots. But there's usually never competition for those coaching positions because they have just been kind of like, it just is what it is because of the Seahawks' success over the last 5 to 6 years. Now it's turned into a situation where Doug Baldwin was on First Take the other morning, and he said, hey, in 2018, the Seahawks players need to start to buy in to Pete Carroll's culture and his philosophy. And that's him taking the leadership, which that's what leaders do. Leaders look at themselves in the mirror and say, hey, what can you do to get better? Non-leaders point the fingers at the coaches and blame them.
Well, those are strong words, and you're right. The teams with the best leadership do not pass the buck. What do you feel like is going to happen in the offseason now with some certain key players, Richard Sherman being one, and then the other one we've been sort of waiting to hear on is Cam Chancellor and his health. And I know you said him and Cliff Avril are seriously considering retirement, but what do you see happening with Richard Sherman? Do you see him coming back next season?
Richard Sherman is going to come back. You can't. The one thing about the building, and I use a building to kind of help you guys have a clear vision and what it is that I'm saying, buildings have pillars, and there are some very important pillars to this team. You already are possibly, there's a good chance you're going to lose some very, very huge pillars in Cliff Avril and Cam Chancellor. And that's hard enough. Do you replace them? Probably not. I mean, Cam Chancellor is one of the greatest we've ever seen all time. You don't just replace a Cam Chancellor. You don't replace a Cliff Avril. Cliff Avril, who only had missed one game prior to that in all of the season, all of the years he was with the Seahawks. I mean, that guy came in and played well. So when you're talking about a Richard Sherman, what did he do? He doesn't just bring athleticism and smarts and everything great on the field. Richard Sherman brings all of that off the field and, more important, on the sideline. You know what some of the guys on defense, some of the linebackers have told me? The one thing that they noticed when Richard Sherman has been out, not just him being on the field, they noticed him not being on the sidelines. Watching Richard Sherman just be on the, you would see him during the games on the kind of on the exercise bike, that's different than the intense Richard Sherman that's just on the sidelines the entire time. If you have seen a Seahawks game, You've seen Richard Sherman on the sideline. You don't see him sitting down. You see him up and tense, and that's what his team likes to see. So, my answer to your question, yes, 2018, they keep Richard Sherman.
Hey, G, the Seahawks are making a bit of franchise history next season. First of all, my question to you is, G, have you ever been to London before?
No, I haven't been to London, but I'm looking forward to tea and crumpets. I'm definitely looking forward to tea and crumpets, and I'm going to be wearing my trousers. Trousers and my socks are going to be very on point, and I'm looking forward to it. And with my pinky finger in the air, by the way, my right pinky is really nasty because it got messed up.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it on Twitter. That made me cringe a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you.
Man, I'm excited. Week 6, October 14th, playoffs out there in London. Man, I'm excited. Now, here's the – I don't want to say this right now. I talked to a lot of guys about it, and they said, gee, would you shut up, quit being so excited? I said, why? They said, because you ain't got to play. I was like, oh, okay, sorry about that. Because some, a lot of the guys, man, they ain't really too excited about going to London.
Sportsnet 650.